Are you ready, Alabama? You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet.
All my boys, stand up.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes.
I am also a dog.
All right.
Yeah.
We're dogs.
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong. We strong. We strong.
You all may be taking a week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
So T-Mac has been working on the scenarios. And there is a scenario for us to come back and beat the morning show. I'm just going to tell you that right now. All we need is North Carolina and UCLA to make it to the Elite Eight. Kansas and Oregon would help. North Carolina, UCLA making it would be fine. The morning show is torched in the East just like we are, so that doesn't matter. And in the West, I don't know what it is yet. He's still trying to figure it out. So I think we got a shot. We got a shot to come back. All right, joining me now, the guy that I would have, I should have consulted with before I made my bracket out. It's the worst bracket in the history of my life. I was 8 years old. I was making up better brackets than this. There were only 48 teams in the tournament. I was making up better brackets than this. Damon Amendola, CBS Sports Radio. DA, welcome in. How are you, man?
Thank you, Big Dog. Maybe your bracket was better because it was only 48 teams.
You know, that might be a reason why I got it. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you who's kicking. We got about 212 people in the North Alabama bracket right now, and I'm in like 142nd, and that's actually tied with most of the rest of the air personalities. My wife is 13th. She's got, and
wow.
You know the junkyard. Yeah, she's 13th, and she has a possibility. She could still win the thing. But here's the deal. She has Baylor and UCLA in the final, and the reason is, Baylor and UNC. She loves Carolina's uniforms, those pretty, you know, powder blue uniforms. And Waco, Texas is where Fixer Upper on HGTV, her favorite show is. You know, Chip and Joe and Fixer Upper are from Waco, Texas. So she picked Baylor and she's kicking my ass. Why do I even bother? I mean, why do we invest all this time trying to figure this out? I talked to all these handicappers. Why do I even bother?
I thought that you were going to say because the JYB loves Big Monday. I had no idea that it was going to be other reasons.
No. She told me right off the bat, she says the ACC's only got one team that's going to get through. I go, honey, they got nine teams. It might be an all-ACC final. She goes, no, Carolina's the only team that will get out of the ACC. They're vastly overrated. So that's what she said. I don't know if that's true or not. But I mean,
Andy Katz and the JYB bracketologists. We should just go to her for the bubble teams next year.
Man, I'll tell you what. Let me ask you a question now. You know, people always say this with bowl games in football. Oh, you can't use the bowls to determine. And I say, you know what? I say balderdash. I think that the bowl games are a good indication of conference strength and so on. What about in March? I mean, the ACC got nine teams in. They got one left. What, a Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the SEC have three teams in. The SEC only had five in the tournament. They got three to the Sweet 16. What do you think? Is this a decent metric here?
I would argue that it's a way better metric than the bowl games because we all know the bowl games are kind of based on motivation. It's all based on whether or not teams feel like it's a proper reward, if they want to be there, if they're disappointed because something went wrong. You can't argue that anybody in March doesn't have proper motivation to win these games. So I think it's an indictment on the ACC. I thought that when you looked at those teams, I didn't think that the ACC was as deep as the number would indicate in terms of the teams that got in. But I did think that between Louisville, North Carolina, and Duke, you had three teams that would likely be sitting in the Elite Eight, if not the Final Four. and that you definitely had three teams that are going to get through the first weekend. I didn't think there was any chance that any one of those three would not get through the weekend. I was skeptical on the teams outside of those big three, but the fact that only one team remains and Duke and Louisville didn't make it out of the round of 32, I definitely think is an indictment of that league.
I liked Michigan over Louisville because they were so hot coming in, and I thought Louisville was a little sketchy. The one that stuns me is South Carolina over Duke. And Duke had its moments, there's no question. They were the betting favorite. Maybe I guess that turns out to be, you know, or very close to being the betting favorite. So maybe that turns out to be just public money and people, you know, liking the Duke brand. But, I mean, this may be the worst Duke loss. I mean, they've had some bad losses in the tournament. This may be the worst one ever.
Well, I don't think it's any worse than when they were a 2 seed and lost to a 15. I mean, you at least do have a loss to a 7 seed, and you're doing it on the road, basically, because you're playing in Greenville, South yeah. Carolina, where there's a ton of Gamecocks fans. But I'll be the first one to admit that I raised my hand and thought that Duke was going to make a really deep run. I had them go into the national. I had them go to the Final Four, and then lose to Arizona. And I sat there on press row and watched them in the ACC tournament knock off a really good North Carolina team and knock off a really good Louisville team and knock off a really good Notre Dame team. And I said, this squad's got everything that it takes. It's got everything that it needs to make a deep run. Obviously, it's got a coach that's been there before. But I also love Jason Tatum. I like Luke Kennard's offense. I like Grayson Allen's playmaking. I like the depth. I like the health. I liked everything. And just basically last night, South Carolina played the game of its lives. And I also feel great for Frank Martin because that guy is the truest college basketball grinder that's ever going to be. And I feel great for him and I feel great for the Gamecocks program. But I wouldn't say that's the worst Duke loss ever. I would say that I thought this team had the fuel to make it all the way to a Final Four.
Tomorrow I have Matt Figger on the show. He's the associate head coach there. At South Carolina. I got to ask him about Frank Martin. Look, you know me, right? I've been around the horn a little bit. I'm a pretty good-sized guy and whatnot. That Frank Martin scares the hell out of me, man. I mean, that's just a scary-looking dude right there. Can you imagine that guy walking through the, you know, through the front door every night for dinner? I mean, that's just a bad-looking dude.
Well, it's funny because Frank Martin actually used to be a bouncer. Frank Martin used to be a high school coach. Then he was, or maybe it was before he was a high school coach, he was a bouncer down in Miami. He's a South Florida guy, so he can be intimidating, obviously, from that realm, from that vantage point. But he's also a guy that has worked every single job. I mean, I'd be surprised if he wasn't a janitor in some type of arena at some point in time. He's worked every job in college basketball. He goes to K-State, and my first introduction to him was at K-State because I was in Kansas City, and he took over for Huggy Bear. Because that was the year that Bob Huggins had the K-State job and also brought in Michael Beasley and Bill Walker, two NBA guys, and totally turned the K-State gig around. And then Frank Martin takes it over from there, and they go to an Elite Eight, and they go to basically the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament almost every year. He made it an annual rite of passage that Kansas State went to the NCAA tournament and then turned that into an SEC job going to South Carolina. And then took South Carolina 6 years, but he finally got into the NCAA tournament this year and suddenly beats Duke. He is as salt of the earth as he gets, and he might look intimidating, but I'm telling you, you ever talk to him, and it's like you've been friends about 1,000 times over. And he's not one of those normal college basketball politicians. He's just totally legit. What you see is what you get from him, and I really enjoy our conversations when I have him on the show. I had him on the show last week.
He does seem like a guy that would be great to sit down and have a frosty one with. You know, he does kind of come across as a guy's guy that way.
He knows where the bodies are buried in college basketball, I'll tell you that much. So if you got him with a beer and you can get some honesty out of him, I think you would get some amazing stories.
Speaking of knowing where the body's buried, by the way, before I forget this, Jim Boeheim gets an extension again. The guy that would spend his coaching waiting since 1978 or something has left to take another job. How old is Boeheim? I mean, how long is he going to coach here? Is he going to be the Bobby Bowden of college basketball coaches here, or what?
Yeah, Boeheim's 72, and this year, this upcoming season, was supposed to be his last. 2 years ago, when they announced the sanctions, Syracuse publicly said that in the wake of these sanctions, Jim Boeheim is going to step away in 3 years, and that would have been this after this upcoming season. And I think that Mike Hopkins, who was the head coach in waiting officially for about a decade, but unofficially for about 20 years, I mean, ever since I was really at Syracuse, we kind of figured. And I think he saw the writing on the wall that Jim Boeheim wasn't going to leave, and he wasn't going to leave quietly, and he didn't want to leave after this upcoming season. And I find that disappointing as a Syracuse alum that Jim Boeheim is going to sit there and scratch and claw and fight when this was in place for the betterment of this program. I just don't think that 72-year-old Jim Boeheim being around for another 5 to 7 years is what's best for this program. And now that's the reality. Once you've taken Mike Hopkins and the unofficial or official, this is when he's going to take over date out of the mix. There's nothing stopping from Boeheim from coaching until he's got 1 foot in the grave. So yeah. I just think he's going to be around for the next 5 to 7, which takes us close to damn near 80 for him. And I don't think that means the Syracuse basketball is going to get better.
Isn't his wife like 40 or something? Didn't he marry a co-ed or something back years ago?
Yeah, you know, he was like 50, and she was a grad assistant, not a grad assistant, but a graduate student. So
right.
she's like 25 years younger than him or so.
Yeah. All right. Well,
he did
good
well.
By him.
He did well.
Yeah.
He did well. Like
Damon Amendola with the CBS Sports Radio. Okay. Villanova gets dumped by Wisconsin. What's more embarrassing? Villanova getting beat by Wisconsin. Virginia getting beat the way they got beat by Florida. It's 65-39. Or Greg Marshall's wife, the Wichita State coach, going on a alcohol-fueled expletive rant where she had to get all Charles Oakley and escorted out of the arena. Which of those is the worst?
Yeah, that's a great question. They're all really embarrassing, but I got to go with Greg Marshall's wife because at least that's public behavior that can be curtailed. You know, for UVA, they've had a bad offense for a while now. We know that they can't score points. And for Villanova, maybe it's a bad matchup because Wisconsin actually was a preseason favorite of the Big Ten, and we now see the Big Ten might have been underrated this year. But for Greg Marshall's wife, I mean, what are you doing? Everybody in the arena knows you're Greg Marshall's wife. You don't think that media is going to point this out. You don't think that people are going to know they're going to talk. And I don't know if she was blitzkrieged or not, but the fact that she's dropping F-bombs all over the place and has to be told to settle down. I mean, look, I know that Wichita State basketball means a lot, but have a little bit of couth here. I mean, have a little bit of self-control. What are you doing?
No, one of the courtside reporters said that she was hammered, which is a problem in and of itself. I mean, you're the wife of the coach, you know what I mean? I mean, feel free not to get, juiced while you're at the game, but apparently that was, that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, all of it is embarrassing, and, for Greg Marshall's known as a handful as well. I mean, there was a reason he was at Winthrop for so long before he got a bigger job. It was because people thought that maybe he wasn't quite the easiest guy to handle. But now that I didn't know that his wife was also a handful too, this must mean that Greg Marshall and his wife are just like the ultimate worst dinner guests ever.
Well, and in a serious note, this has got to greatly impact. There was a lot of talk about the Wichita State Dayton game where, there was two coaches that were vying maybe for the Illinois job or somebody's other Indiana job is open. What might be happening there? And that's about as bad as it gets. I mean, when people already know that you're kind of a little rough around the edges, to have something like that with the wife and anymore these days, it's kind of like a team deal, out there on the rubber chicken circuit and all that kind of stuff. That's a career devastating type thing.
It's not good. I mean, unless Greg Marshall can argue or defend his wife to a future employer by saying, she never drinks and she never liked this, mm-hmm. It is once in a million. But it sounds like this is a reputation on the road. This is a reputation in arenas. And, schools... even though that, schools want to win and want to win at all costs, schools also want their coaches to be, their ambassadors for the school. And they want them to be able to play nice and shake hands and kiss babies and be politicians, basically. So
if your wife is a disaster or if you're a disaster, and that's plenty of head coaches, I mean, it gets around. It's a small enough circuit to where everybody kind of knows what's going on.
Damon Amendola, CBS Sports Radio. Is it, regardless of how far UCLA goes, is it too cliche to think that Steve Alford is the perfect guy for that Indiana job? I mean, do they not back up a boatload of money there, or is there something that, I mean, it just seems obvious, but, you know, what's your take on the potentiality of, you know, Alford to Indiana going home?
Well, it seems obvious as long as we work within the realm that Indiana's a better job. I'm not so sure it's a better job, considering, you know, the lineage that John Wooden leaves at UCLA, considering you're recruiting in Los Angeles, considering it's the lifestyle of living on the beach in L.A.
That's
you're
true.
Competing in the Pac-12, where, you know, maybe you get a little bit of leniency compared to Indiana, where in Bloomington, I mean, you're expected to win and win big every single year.
So this is funny. I was talking about this on the show last week and with some people that I know around college basketball, and I just said, is that a better job? I don't know if it's a better job. Now, if we consider it a better job because, A, fan base is more intense, B, he's a returning hero to Indiana, C, you can recruit really well in the state of Indiana. There's always great talent there. And D, you're getting the giant Big Ten check every single month, then it seems like it's the fit because the guy is going to be beloved, and the guy, and they want somebody desperately that comes within the Indiana cloth, then it makes a ton of sense. And I would imagine that it's going to be announced as soon as the season is over. And I guess that Indiana probably pays better as well and might even have better facilities. But I think it's an interesting debate whether Indiana basketball is actually better than having the UCLA job.
Yeah, and they were a number of years they were in rough shape, you know, and they wouldn't won that one championship with Ben Holland, I think it was, it that won with them or whoever. No, it was
Jim Herrick. Jim Herrick. Ben Holland went to back to back Final Fours.
Yeah, he went to back to back Final Fours. So they've had their moments, but you know, still some people think that you know LA is just that fickle sports town that maybe. You know, maybe he'd enjoyed a passion of Indiana. You made a great comment last week about how we love upsets early and blue bloods late. Man, you look at that South region, North Carolina, UCLA, Kentucky, and then Butler, which is like a mid-America blue blood. You still got Kansas alive in the Midwest. You still got Arizona alive in the West, Gonzaga, Johnny come lately in terms of blue bloods, but Arizona would be the blue blood out there. I mean, we have a pretty good chance having some real sex. This UCLA Kentucky, I mean, you can't put two better names on the marquee, but we got a chance to get some real sexy looking, national semifinal games and Elite Eight games.
Can you believe Kentucky's draw? I mean, for a two seed, can you believe Kentucky's draw? They get Wichita State in the second round. And we can all agree that Wichita State, Greg Marshall's wife and all, belonged way better fate than 10 seed.
Right.
They get Wichita State of the round of 32, and now they're going to get UCLA, which you could argue is the most dangerous three seed out there in the Sweet 16. And then, as you mentioned, I mean, they're going to get UNC, hypothetically, as the Elite Eight. And then you get to a Final Four, and I mean, this road for Kentucky is just absolutely brutal. And that's the only region I feel like, the really big contenders held their weight. I mean, for Villanova to bail already, for Duke, we were supposed to have Villanova, Duke, and the Elite Eight at Madison Square Garden. Now we're going to have Wisconsin, South Carolina. And then, you know, for some of the other bigger squads, I mean, we had chalk through the first 2 days, and then Saturday and Sunday, some major upsets. I love that South region because of what you said, but gosh, with some of the other big dogs going down, that's the only one that really looks like a really great Sweet 16 and Elite Eight weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun run the rest of the way here in the tournament, that's for sure. So, all right, DA, appreciate you, man. We're listening, and we'll look forward to talking again.
All right, sounds good, big dog. Catch you later.
All right, too. Damon Amendola. Quick on the switch there. All right, when we come back, we will be joined by the one and only Colt Kublik. He's coming up next. It's the Tom Abraham Show. right here at 730-1039. The Ump.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor home.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Forester 3011 DS. This spacious double-slide motorhome with automatic leveling jack sleeps 7 with a bunk over cab sleeping area. With features like a separate queen bedroom, including double wardrobes, a kitchen with solid surface countertops, and double sink plus pantry, this Class C makes travel a dream.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the Class C Forester 3011 DS on sale now online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
5 locations are online at BankstonMotorhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Megan Hoffer, and welcome to Heartbeat. I must be one of the most responsible people in America, since I receive hundreds of offers for pre-approved credit cards. They go in the trash, so I won't have a credit limit equal to the national debt of South America. First, it was a regular card, then silver, gold, platinum, and titanium. What comes next? The entire atomic table of elements? But how much is enough? When will I spend enough to be satisfied? In the Bible, Paul teaches, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. True satisfaction comes from having God in your life and to trust Him for all your needs. Don't leave home without Him. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help.
To help solve hunger in the Tennessee Valley, contact Food Bank of North Alabama or visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's good pal Arky Shea here, and what's better than the Ump? The Ump On Demand. Anytime you want to check out all of our podcasts, it's umpsports.com. Click on podcasts. The website, Ump Sports, the tab, podcasts.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Partly sunny and very mild this afternoon. The high today around 75. For tonight, mostly fair with the low at 60. A warm day tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a strong storm late in the day, the high 82. Cooler Wednesday, a small chance of a shower, the high 62. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Woody has the Ford VIP hotline now. Well, he's my friend. We go back a little ways now. But he's also my antagonist when it comes to this contest that we concocted. And most importantly, he's the morning show guy for the Ump. And also, of course, with the SEC Network at ESPN doing college football. He's Cole Kublik. Cole, welcome in. How are you, man?
Hey, great, Tom. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm trying to figure out what I'm ended up playing for here because I kept getting all these cryptic texts from Arky. He said, if you lose, we want to add to it lunch and you got to do the show from in studio. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll do a show in studio. Then he hit me with, and you got to play Cole's music for a week. Use his bump music. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I got hit with wearing an Auburn hat. And, I'm like, okay, I'll do that. A listener had sent me the thing about you wearing, an Alabama hat. And that's why we threw that out there. So what am I, at the end of the day here, what of these things am I going to have to do, assuming that you guys beat us?
Here's the thing is Arky wanted you to do a show in studio. I don't really know how that benefits me. So
yeah,
the wager on that, the part of that was I would wear Alabama gear, but you do a show in studio. And I was thinking, I don't really know how that's good for me. Like that seems like a bad bet if you're me.
Right.
And then, obviously, we just started taking calls and tweets from listeners, and they had different ideas, so they're just throwing anything and everything out there. But I think, really, it's just, as far as you and I are concerned, it's lunch. I think as far as Arky's concerned, it's doing a show in studio. And, I just said, if I'm going to wear an Alabama hat or shirt, it's got to be new. I'm not wearing any used gear. I don't wear other people's clothes. It's gross. I can't do it. So
I don't blame you.
I don't really understand where you wearing Auburn gear has anything to do with anything either. So it's like, I'm open for negotiations still. The thing's pretty much tied. So it's not like it's a huge deal.
It's pretty close. I will wear the Auburn hat. Now I've never worn an Auburn hat, but I respect Auburn, so I wouldn't have a problem wearing it. I have a bigger problem. I had to take pictures in Steeler gear once that were posted online, and you know how them online pictures, they never go away. That was more bothersome to me than the Auburn thing. And you, I would imagine, as much as you're an Auburn guy and played there and a permanent captain and all that, I mean, let's be honest. As a kid, you were kind of an Alabama fan, right? I mean, is that about right? I mean, you're growing up there in Birmingham and at Homewood High and all that stuff. Is that accurate to say?
No, I wasn't an Alabama fan. I mean, my aunt was a Hall of Fame basketball player at Clemson. Both of my parents attended South Carolina. So I bounced around as a kid. There was a period which I was a big Notre Dame fan. I liked Miami later in my college career, but it was like I always followed Alabama and Auburn. I was never just really a kind of a diehard fan of either one, so I knew what was going on with both schools. But that would be I've lost that bet before. I had to wear Griff Redmill's jersey and take a picture one time. That wasn't fun. I think still floating around there somewhere. My idea personally was that you would have to be photographed in Browns gear, because that, to me, would be more embarrassing than anything else we've talked about.
That is embarrassing. There are way too many pictures of me wearing that gear out there. Now, I do want to say this, too. I'm committed to buying you and Arky lunch, which for me, I mean, think about it. If you agree, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, I got more at stake here than you do, because I got McSkinney mixing my show over there. I mean, the guy, eats once a day and it's a salad. And I'm feeding Arky, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it could be a little bit dicey.
All right, I'll go with the I'll throw in the Alabama hat for that.
Okay.
Since you're going to have to probably go with the bonus plate when we sit down to eat. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and I have no problem wearing the Auburn gear. I mean, if it comes to that. The reality here is that both of our brackets and Arky's bracket and especially Tony Mack's bracket suck. I mean, we're all like on the third, the eighth terrible. Page of this thing. I mean, really, you're just, I think you got 33 wins. I got 32. Arky's got 32 and Arky's got 30 and nobody has anything really good left in this tournament. But we do have the potentiality outside of our brackets. We have the potentiality of some real good blue bloods coming up late in this tournament. I mean, with North Carolina, UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, Arizona, Wisconsin, Florida, all still alive. You know, it does set up for a potentially really sexy Final Four, don't you think?
No, I agree. And you look at the two, I think when we looked at all of these matchups, you know, we looked at this South region and, you know, Buzz Baker called it, he quantified it as a World Cup group of death on our show. Matt Jones said that it just wasn't even fair when you looked at the draw. And I think when you looked at that South region, I know I thought to myself, boy, there are two matchups that I would make sure I'm in front of my television and I would watch them from start to finish, which I haven't done that for many basketball games this year. And that would be Kentucky-UCLA and Kentucky-North Carolina. And we have a chance to get those in back-to-back weeks. That would be phenomenal if we got those kind of matchups. And then we still could be staring down the barrel of a Kentucky-Kansas game after that, which would just be, I mean, can you imagine if Kentucky were to go on and win a national title, having to play, you know, Wichita State shouldn't have been a 10 seed. We would probably all agree with that now. Mm-hmm. And obviously Northern Kentucky wasn't anything to write home about week one. But if they had to go through UCLA, I mean, that's kind of – you're talking about that Pittsburgh Steeler run of having to play three playoff games on the road and still going out and winning the Super Bowl. I'm not sure you could – I'm not a college basketball historian, but you'd be hard-pressed, in my opinion, to find a better run, especially just not only where the teams were seated, but the name value and traditional power of the teams. If Kentucky were to go through UCLA, North Carolina, and Kansas, and then obviously a couple different teams that they could match up with on the other side. Yeah,
they could run into Arizona. Yeah, they could run into Arizona in the final. I mean, geez, that, you know, that's a big name too, you know, in a team like Arizona. And don't forget, you know, Florida's won more national championships than Kentucky in the last 20 years. You know, we don't talk about Florida that way, but the Gators look amazing, which brings me to the SEC in general. To me, it's the same people who poo-poo the bowl games as a measuring stick of conference superiority that are, you know, kind of blow off what happens in the tournament. But I think there's something significant to be said about the SEC being 7-2 in the tournament and putting three of their five teams into the Sweet 16, while the ACC, which is, you know, everybody's darling, was 7-8 in the tournament and only got one team through. You know, what do you think about that, though? I mean, is the tournament a legitimate harbinger of a conference health in a sport?
It's an intriguing thought because I think if you really dug deep and looked at it, I kind of think you have to say no, but on the flip side of that, what's the other way to figure it out if you want to have a postseason? I mean, you can all play each other in the regular season. Yeah, that's great, but we know why the postseason's around. It was initially generated to bring in more revenue, and obviously that's what you do. And I think when you have as many conferences as you do in basketball, I can't think of any way that's better to be able to determine a champion. So, as far as postseason is concerned, yes. If we were just talking about a conference, I think that's a little bit of a different discussion. But I just don't know what else you would do if you were looking to determine a national champion with this many teams involved.
Well, this is when you're supposed to all be peaking. I mean, you look at even Arkansas, North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina had to pull that game out of their butt. Arkansas was beating them the entire game. We almost had four teams in the Sweet 16 out of the SEC. And to me, the health of the league, it's always going to be a football league. But with Mike White and what he's done at Florida, I really do believe that Alabama and Auburn are on the come. I think Tennessee is on the come. You know, I don't think Frank Martin, unless he leaves South Carolina, I think South Carolina is going to be gritty and tough. Georgia, you know, my gosh, you know, somebody's going to take that Georgia job. Calipari looks like he's staying at Kentucky for a while. I think the health of the league basketball wise is really good right now. We may be looking at a really good time where it's not just Kentucky and the 13 little, you know, stepchildren.
Well, no, and now you've got Quanzo Martin at Missouri, who has a direct link to the number one player in the country. up there in the Midwest. So if he pulls him in, I mean, he's the kind of guy that, that changes your program instantly, and you all of a sudden you become a tournament team. So LSU has a chance to bring in a big-time coach, a big-name coach, and the program who has, if I'm not mistaken, the second most amount of SEC tournament championships as far as SEC basketball. So
right.
LSU, a team that's got a lot more tradition than I think, kind of like what you were saying with Florida, we give Florida more credit. We don't give LSU the kind of credit I think they deserve for some of the great basketball they've provided in this conference. So
yeah.
I agree with you. The SEC is headed in the right direction. We've been asking that question. We've been wondering. It could be an absolute battle for maybe spots like 4 through 6 next year in this conference to see, you know, who's going to scratch, claw, and fight to get in. And the good part about that is then your conference tournament really does bring some value.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't even have to win it to get in, but if you need to advance 2-3 rounds to be able to prove that you're worthy to get in over another team in your conference, that's all of a sudden where your conference tournament has a lot of value.
Yeah, and then it could be a star-studded tournament, much the way the ACC has been perceived over the years. Cole Kublik with us. Yeah, you almost forget about, you know, Pete Maravich and you know, Shaq O'Neal, Dale Brown days. You almost forget about that with LSU, that they were, you know, for a long time, that was the program right next to Kentucky that was the program coming out of the SEC.
Oh, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, you know, Chris Jackson when he was in college.
Right.
Was a great player. Stromile Swift was a really good player that LSU had for a year or two, so... I mean, they've had some great individual players, and then they've had some great teams. I mean, some of those Shaq runs in the SEC tournament were amazing. And if you know, you watch the 30 for 30 with him and Dale Brown, you just go back and remember, you know, how dominant of a group that was and how much fun they were to watch. But you got a great recruiting advantage there in the state of Louisiana. You were talking about Frank Martin staying in South Carolina and having family in Columbia and growing up there. I can tell you that is a huge basketball town. That's a really big basketball town. There are a couple big-time private schools in Columbia that play big-time private school basketball. You get to recruit up into North Carolina, and obviously the Virginia areas is not far. It puts out elite talent every single year. So that arena is phenomenal. It's still pretty new. One of the best arenas for college basketball in this conference. So I think South Carolina will take care of Frank Martin, and I could see him being around for a while.
Cole Kublik with us. All right. I think the most embarrassing thing of the first two rounds of the tournament, not Villanova's loss, not Duke's loss, but it's got to be Greg Marshall's wife going off on a alcohol-fueled, let's F some bleep up, screaming around type of deal there. And it's interesting. Charles in Decatur just hit the text window with, while I agree with the things being said about Marshall's wife, at least she seems like she's passionate about her husband's team, his profession, and is clearly his ride or die chick. He probably takes comfort knowing she's got his back, even if it's a back alley brawl or a shot contest. I contend that she may be costing him a job. Because he's supposedly on the short list at Illinois and Indiana, maybe some Big Ten type jobs. That's a bad look, isn't it, to have your wife going off like that?
Yeah, it really is. We had Drew Franklin on this morning from Kentucky Sports Radio. He's the guy who actually tweeted out the video, one of the videos of her, and the NCAA stepped in and asked him to remove it and eventually stood over him and made him remove it. I'll be honest with you, Tom. The first thing that I thought was, man, I wonder if this is one of the reasons or the reason why he hasn't taken a bigger job. In that, you know, he's kind of hidden there in Wichita, smaller town, smaller school, able to keep some things sort of behind the curtain. I think it's fair to consider it when you look at her in a jersey, you know, going bananas, jumping on chairs and dropping X's everywhere. So it's a very odd situation. But, yeah, it's, you know, the point that I made on our show today is, if that's you or Tony or me or Arky or anybody listening to your show right now, we're gone. We're out of that arena a lot earlier. We probably don't make it to halftime. If we're, you know, dropping F-bombs directed at kids and officials and coaches and we're jumping on the chair and we're almost falling over the railing, they're kicking our rear end out of there.
Yeah.
Why the coach's wife deserves special treatment? I don't agree with it. And I definitely don't agree with the NCAA coming up trying to throw that a video is intellectual property of CBS and it's got to be taken down inside of an arena. Because why are you not going to every other fan that tweeted a picture or a video? There's a couple of things that happened there that are very eye-opening and disturbing, to be perfectly honest with you, from the NCAA's perspective.
And Marshall, who's already kind of an edgy guy, this can't be a complete and total surprise to him. I mean, I'm thinking that I have my wife in a suite. If my wife has that tendency and she likes to knock a few back and is kind of a little bit goofy that way, I mean, she needs to be in a suite. She needs to be away from the court where, you know, everybody can hear her and she's making a spectacle out of herself. That's embarrassing. And
there was a girl, Tom, out of Texas that was out of Lexington that was covering the game, a local news girl that said she spoke to Marshall's daughter after the game. She tweeted this and said, Marshall's daughter just apologized for her mother's action, saying she's just drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's been the MO. All right, before I let you go, a lot is being made about the comments that Lane Kiffin has been making since he left Tuscaloosa, and he did it again today. He was on a Dan Le Batard show, and really kind of talking about his life away from the field and outside of going 40-3. In his 3 years at Alabama, how it was really, was tough, and his wife wasn't there, and his kids weren't there, and I don't know if he's, what wife he's talking about. I know I thought he was gotten divorced from his wife. I don't know, what he's talking about there. But, I wonder, we gave him a lot of credit for maturing over this period of time and the Saban effect and all of that. Do you think that maybe there's no change? I mean, do you think it's possible by the time we get to the end of this upcoming year, that it's same old Lane and that he's the same exact guy he was all along, or do you think there's a change there?
No, I don't think Lane Kiffin has changed. And I think that's the reason that he was asked to leave Tuscaloosa, is he refused to change and maybe got worse behind the scenes. So I think that there's probably a lot of improving that Lane Kiffin needs to do in his life, just like the rest of us. Nick Saban and Alabama just did a good job of keeping most of it hidden.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, it's a good answer. All right, Cole, kind of good luck on the tournament this upcoming week. And then we may have more clarity on this thing. We may not. We may not know until championship night as to where this thing settles. But I'm putting myself right out there feeding not only an ex-offensive lineman in the SEC, but Arky Shea. I'm going to start squirreling away a few dollars just in case.
Sounds good, Tom. Catch up with you later.
Appreciate you, brother. Thanks. Just saying, it could come out that way. Might be that way. I'm not throwing shade at Arky. I'm just saying, my producer weighs 135 pounds. His producer doesn't. I think I put more on the line here. Nah, it's a good break. When we come back, phone lines are open. If you want to jump in, you can jump in. I got some stuff I want to get to outside of the tournament. We'll talk about that as well. It's the Tom Abraham Show right here, 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. WUMP.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. There is no bigger party than the one thrown on the internet whenever Duke loses in the NCAA tournament, and everybody reached for that red Solo cup the minute the Blue Devils fell to South Carolina in the second round last night. Just as everybody came with the same tired, lame jokes when it happened. Like Grace Nallon thought he was going to win a national title, but he was tripping. Hey-oh. Look, dance on Duke's grave if that's your thing, but just remember who put them there. Frank freaking Martin and the South Carolina Gamecocks. This is not about what Duke didn't do. It's about what Martin and South Carolina did to them. Tip your hat because the better team won last night. And don't be so busy hating on Duke that you don't show the proper respect to Martin and his squad because they earned it. I'm Jim Rome.
Clean away dirt and grime and bring out your vehicle shine with super savings on O'Reilly Car Wash. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a gallon bottle of O'Reilly Car Wash for $3.99. Clean, shine, and protect your vehicle with O'Reilly Car Wash on sale for $3.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Ready for your dream boat? Bucks Island has it. Call us at 1-800-I'M-READY. Is your dream boat a G3 fishing boat powered by Yamaha? The fish are waiting for you. Is your dream boat a G3 pontoon? Cruise the rivers in G3 Elite Pontoon powered by Yamaha. Or do you want a G3 Suncatcher fishing pontoon powered by Yamaha? Bucks Island has it. Call us at 1-800-I'M-READY. Take advantage now of the G3 rebates and Yamaha 5-year warranty. Ends March 31st, 2017. Southside, Alabama. BucksIsland.com.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
The County for a Cure Relay for Life team announces their second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament to benefit the American Cancer Society. The event, sponsored by Tri-Green Equipment, is Saturday, April 22nd, with courts opening at 10 a.m. Competition begins at noon. The event will be held at the Limestone County Sheriff's Rodeo Arena on Highway 99 in Athens. The registration fee is $40 per team now through April 20th, and day of the event registration is $50. Registration is now open and forms are available at the Limestone County Commission office and County for a Cure Facebook page. That's the second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament to benefit the American Cancer Society, Saturday, April 22nd at the Limestone County Sheriff's Rodeo Arena. Registration's open now and forms are available at the Limestone County Commission office and County for a Cure Facebook page. Get your team together and we'll see you Saturday, April 22nd for the second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Open 866-485-9867. T-Mac, I just got a request from CBS Radio in New York City about asking me if I'd come on and talk about Alabama Crimson Tide prospects in the draft. How about that? We got to do that, right? We got to do that. Can't not do it. Got to do it. These guys help me out all the time. Just saying.
Sure.
There you go.
I was waiting for you to kind of finish. I didn't know if you had anything else to say, but I was going to say, as from the producer standpoint, just from being in here for 2 or 3 weeks, reaching out to people like that, I mean, sure, you have to do it. I mean, I appreciate it anytime we get a chance.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's number one market in the world.
Absolutely.
Too, so, you know, you got to jump on there. 866-485-9867 will get you into the show. 866-485-9867. Speaking of the draft and free agency and so on, coming up in the next hour of the show, a little bit later on, Albert Hainsworth will join us. And you know, I reach out to Albert a lot of times around free agency just to talk about the whole process, because he's a guy that was toxic. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, Albert had two huge years at Tennessee with the Titans, in Nashville with the Titans. Two huge years. And for 2 years, Albert Haynesworth was the best defensive tackle in the NFL. And then got $100 million from the Washington Redskins. And here's the dirty little secret. I've told this story before years ago. But, you know, I know Albert fairly well. You know, we did radio together for about 2 years. I did the Albert Haynesworth show. And when he signed with the Skins, it was about, I don't know how long after that it was, that they hired Jim Haslett to be their defensive coordinator. And Jim Haslett is a 3-4 guy. And not only is Jim Haslett a 3-4 guy, he's a 3-4 guy in a traditional sense, in as much as that they play a lot of zero technique with the nose guard, and the defensive line's job basically in that defense is to read and react. That's your job. Your job is to what they call read the screws and let those four linebackers make all the tackles. Your job is to have three guys take five, all right? And that zero technique or shade could be a shade. And that shade is supposed to occupy a center and a guard. And then you've got a three technique and a five technique. And their job is to play basically in front of that line, reading where the line is going so that the linebackers can flow and make tackles. Well, Albert was always a 40 technique kind of guy. And he was always a three and sometimes a five technique up the field type of guy who thrived in the Jim Schwartz, Jeff Fisher type defense, which was the, you know, Buddy Ryan type defense, to be honest with you. A lot of 46 type defense, a lot of covering a strong safety covering a tight end with a strong safety. And the defensive line, their job in that 40 look is to play at the heels of the offensive line. Their job is to make plays. In a 30 look, your job is more to create a new line of scrimmage, to push those guys back and to occupy those five guys, create double teams. That's why you see real big guys in a 30 type look. And you'll see big defensive ends that are more guys that are, as opposed to being an upfield guy, like a guy like Tim Williams, for example. You refer to him as an outside linebacker, or you refer to him as a defensive end. Well, it depends. In a 30 front, he's a defensive end. He's a rush end. But in a 40, you know, really, he's an outside linebacker. He's not a hand on the ground defensive lineman very often. So Albert was put into a situation where it was totally foreign to anything he had ever done before. And they did that after they gave Albert Haynesworth $100 million. So they signed the preeminent upfield defensive tackle and then turned around and hired a coach that coached in the 30. So I called Albert up that night. I said, Albert, man. I said, you see who your new team just hired as a defensive coach? Jim Haslett. Yeah, you know that's a 30 front? I never played a 30. What's that mean? I go, that's a read and react front, man. They're going to make you a nose tackle. I'm not no nose tackle. I go, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be asked to play inside in a 30 front where your job is going to be to get double teamed by the center and the guard. And that's what happened. And he hated it. And if you know anything at all about Albert Haynesworth, if he's upset or if he thinks you're misusing him, he shuts it down. And that was his fault. So he was in a perfect defense for him in Nashville. And the word was they offered him $32 million guaranteed. But the Skins offered him $66 million guaranteed on a $100 million deal. Albert maintains that there was never a $32 million guaranteed deal in Nashville. We'll see. But he's a good guy to talk about free agency and being careful what you wish for. You can end up in a wrong situation. That was a Hall of Fame headed career that got derailed by free agency. All right, before we get to him, Jordan Bianchi's coming up next. He covers NASCAR for SB Nation. We'll talk about the doings yesterday there in the desert right here on the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039, yeah.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP.
Have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental.
What do you mean you missed a segment of the Tom Abraham Show? How could you miss one of these great guests? What are you going to do when someone asks you, did you hear what the dog said? Here's the solution. Go to umpsports.com, click on the show at the podcast tab.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infinity of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infinity is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infinity. Empower the drive.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
Cube Show.
I'll give you Pittsburgh. And I'll give you New England.
And so now the debate would probably come down to San Francisco and Dallas.
We ain't putting San Francisco in this conversation. They a dumpster fire.
Doesn't change what they've done. Because you guys caught lightning in a bottle with your rookie quarterback last year and all of a sudden think you're relevant again.
Oh, really? I think we're relevant? Because I should mention that we were in the playoffs as the number one seed.
How'd that turn out?
It doesn't matter.
Morning 6 to 10.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I gotta work on the next.
I see the future is really bright for me.
I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
100 years ago, there were 100,000 tigers in the wild. Today, there are as few as 3,200. The Earth's wild animals can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here's the founder of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
Ken doesn't know how old he is. He guesses at around 7. His whole life has been centered on finding food. You see, he lives at the dump and he's never been anywhere else. You can find Ken walking in a decaying landfill of rotting garbage, plastic bags, and shards of broken glass. To many, Ken and children like him are invisible. But they're not, are they?
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
You can't buy a best friend. You can love them.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The